8:33 on the Wake Up Zone on 104.5 The Zone. Mark Howard, Blaine Bishop. Preds last night made it hard on us. They got up 3-1, gave up the two late goals. But Colton Sissons, game winner, and he's been playing awfully well. So
he saved us.
Yes, and they host New Jersey tomorrow night. Former Preds assistant GM Ray Shiro is the general manager, and the Preds first captain, Tom Fitzgerald, is his top assistant.
Oh.
So it'll be
info.
Be good to see Fitzy and Ray, who are, you know, favorites.
Only in a losing note, though. Good to see, but we still want you to lose.
Yeah, they've done a good job, though, turning that franchise, although they're off to a tough start. But, you know, last night, it just seemed so easy. They were up 3-1. And then they had the disallowed goal where Fiala's right skate was just over the line, beat the puck into the zone. But give credit to Travis Green, the Vancouver coach, and his video staff, because they saw it. They issued the challenge. You don't get it. Not only do the Preds get a goal, but they go on the power play. Although last night that might not have been a great thing. Kyle Turris came back, played well, had an assist on the Yarncroak goal. Nice redirection by Cali, by the way, who he too is having a pretty solid year. But Ryan Hartman, you know, in a year where everybody's getting hurt and, you know, a lot of guys' numbers are off a little, he's having a great year.
Well, he was injured last year, right?
He was, but we didn't know the extent of the injury. And there were times where I thought his play was a little undisciplined. He was getting too many stupid penalties, and I just didn't think it was working for the Preds. Anyway, we have Steve Merrill from ProSportsInfo.com. Steve, good morning.
Hey, Mark, how you doing?
We're good. Let's start in the college game. Middle Tennessee playing in the New Orleans Bowl. Just under a touchdown underdog to Appalachian State. How do you see it?
Yeah, normally, Mark, as you know, in these minor bowl games, you have to be very careful laying a touchdown or more. Historically, big underdogs do pretty well in these games for a couple reasons. First of all, normally if it's a big favorite, they're probably hoping for a better matchup, a little bit of a letdown there. And then also, just in general, these minor bowl games are kind of random. However, if you look at this matchup here, it's not a good one for Middle Tennessee. If Appalachian State comes focused, which I think they probably will, it could be a tough matchup for them. Appalachian State has one of the best pass defenses in the country. Middle Tennessee has struggled to run the ball this year. They're not a great passing offense either, but they're going to have a really tough time throwing the ball in this game. And then on top of that, you worry about their mindset actually a little bit more than Appalachian State's. You know, the back-to-back games against UAB, they had the home win, and then they lose the title game. This actually could be a bit of a flat spot, even though they're a big underdog.
Arizona State and Fresno, I'm not going to ask you about every bowl because nobody listening to this show cares about Eastern Michigan and Georgia Southern, a big shock.
Oh, man.
But Arizona State and Fresno State getting together, how about that one?
Yeah, I think these are two pretty evenly matched teams. Fresno, once again, a little bit under the radar this year. Boise State had some big games against them down the stretch, but there's been some sharp money on Fresno so far. This line opened 3.5 a few weeks ago. It was around 4 a couple days ago. And now within the last day or so, it's gone up to 5.5, 6. You would think Herm Edwards would have his team ready to play. He's kind of a rah-rah guy. But the sharp money's been all over Fresno so far.
What about and what could be a good game, North Texas and Utah State?
Yeah, here Utah State lost their coach. He's left. That's one of the angles you always have to be very careful with. You know, I talked about motivation earlier with that 7-point favorite in Appalachian. Here we have a 7.5-point favorite in Utah State who will not have their head coach, who is also coming off some big games down the stretch. They had a real big game against Boise State in their season finale that they lost, prevented them from a conference championship chance. And now you could look at a little bit of a letdown here against a weaker North Texas team. But North Texas is actually a dangerous underdog. They're averaging 36.5 points a game, 6.5 yards per play. So I think this is a textbook example of what I was talking about earlier, where you have to be very careful with big favorites in these minor bowl games. Utah State might not be too focused for this spot, and it also will be without their head coach.
NFL on Saturday, the Dolphins Go to the Vikings. The Vikings, we know, fired their offensive coordinator, but Minnesota's favored by 7.5. How do you see it?
Yeah, it'd be interesting to see how the Dolphins respond, you know, obviously from that big win last week, and now you've got, you know, teams this year, you know, coming in off a tough loss like that. And, you know, I think New England could have more of a letdown this week than Miami. That actually could be a catalyst for the Dolphins. They're in the playoff hunt still. People don't realize that, but it's 7-6. Miami still has plenty to play for. Minnesota, meanwhile, as you mentioned, a tough loss against Seattle on Monday night. But if you look at the matchups for the wild card, it's really the Panthers, Redskins, and Vikings right now. The Vikings have a half-game lead because of the tie instead of a loss. And then on top of that, I don't think anybody thinks the Redskins have a chance, and the Panthers have lost five straight. So I think Minnesota is still a good playoff viable team, and I think they bounce back at home this week. The Dolphins, by the way, just 1-5 on the road this season.
Mm. Well, Steve, man, the Cowboys have been red hot. But the Colts here these last couple weeks have kind of been up and down. Naturally, you have a vested interest here with the Titans, hoping that the Colts will lose here. But will the hot streak end for the Cowboys versus the Colts?
I think the Cowboys are probably the better team, Blaine. They're 8-5, Colts is 7-6. But if you look at the scheduling setup here, this is a really bad spot for Dallas. First of all, they enter off of five straight wins and covers, and now it's a non-conference road game. But more importantly, they're coming off their last three wins at home against the Redskins, the Saints, a huge Thursday night win, and then the Eagles last week, which basically has clinched the division for them. The only way the Cowboys lose out to the Eagles now to win the division is the Cowboys have to go 0-3, and the Eagles would have to go 3-0 down the stretch. So if Dallas wins any of these final three, or the Eagles lose one of the final three, the Cowboys have it locked up. So I could definitely see them being a little flat this week. Meanwhile, Indianapolis has won five of their last six straight up, so they're playing good football as well.
Mm. Well, we also lose a tiebreaker with the Ravens, and they play the Buccaneers. Will the Buccaneers play loose and free, or will Winston then play freely to throw it to the Ravens?
Yeah, one thing that's worked year after year is to play these non-playoff teams against these quote-unquote must-win teams, these teams that are in playoff contention. So the reason it works is that actually the lines usually inflate it, and that appears to be the line here. This line's a full touchdown. Tampa's still 5-8 on the season. They've been competitive. Keep in mind, they beat the Saints back in week one. Offensively, they've been very good, averaging 6.5 yards a play. The problem has been their defense. They give up 40 points per game on the road this year. The Ravens are a defensive team, not an offensive team. So from that angle, it's not as bad of a matchup for Tampa as it might be against some other teams.
And naturally, we want to know, will the Titans, the real Titans, show up against the G-Men and the Giants and win this one and stay in the hunt?
Yeah, the Giants are playing much better football here down the stretch, no question about it. I mean, I'm not sure what to make of that Redskin win last week. They're up 40-0 early in that game, but then again, the Redskins don't have their first two quarterbacks anymore. A couple offensive linemen are out, so I think we have to be careful reading too much into that. Giants win the week before against Chicago, an overtime game against a backup quarterback as well in Chase Daniel. They did barely lose to the Eagles, and then the two wins before that, Tampa Bay and San Francisco. So yes, this team has won four of their last five, but there's really not a legitimate win in that group. Tennessee's been a Jekyll and Hyde team this year, but one thing they have done is taken care of bad teams, as evident by the 2-0 stretch last two games against the Jets and Jacksonville. Two before that, they lost against Indianapolis and Houston. So if that trend continues, I think Tennessee should win the game.
All right, and lastly, the Pats versus the Steelers. Man, the Steelers are in a must-win situation here. The Pats on the road, you never know what you're going to get here this season, so will the Steelers survive and still keep hope alive?
You know, if this was the regular New England team, you would think they'd be the team to beat, and they would definitely bounce back off that bad loss. But like you said, on the road this year, they haven't been great. They're 3-4 straight up, 3-4 against the spread compared to 6-0 at home. Pittsburgh, though, just 3-3 at home. They've lost three straight coming in here. Hard to know what to make of either one of these teams. I really think the AFC is wide open. I think Kansas City is probably the team to beat this year. The over is probably the safest play in this game, over 52. Is one thing we do know about Pittsburgh is they've been much better offensively at home over the years.
All right, Steve, a couple of best bets as we finish this up.
Yeah, take a look at the over in the Oakland-Cincinnati game. Cincinnati went under by a single point last week against the L.A. Chargers. It's 46. Neither team has much to play for. I think it'll be a loose, high-scoring game. And then in college football, take a look at the over in that Utah State game I referenced against North Texas. That, once again, Utah State does not have their head coach. Should be a loose game there as well. That total's around 68, but probably not high enough.
All right, Steve, thanks a lot, and we'll speak to you again next week.
Thanks, guys.
All right, Steve Merrill from Pro Sports Info, getting it done mathematically. All right, straight ahead, we'll wrap the show up. Our final thoughts on Titans and Giants, 9:43 on the Wake Up Zone and 104.5 The Zone. But let me tell you about my friends at United Structural Systems. They specialize in foundation repair and concrete leveling. They've been in business since 1994, more than 10,000 satisfied residential customers. And they're asking you, are your bricks cracking, walls bowing, chimneys tilting or leaning? Well, your house might be trying to tell you something, and in a very loud voice, because all of this happens because of extreme moisture and drought conditions, poor drainage, plumbing leaks, and United Structural Systems will come in and give you sinkhole repair, basement wall realignment, crawl space floor supports, and waterproofing. And what you get from United Structural Systems is quality, reputation, expertise, and integrity. That's right. Locally owned, free estimates, and you don't pay until the job is done. Call them at 615-227-2275 or online at USSTN.com. United Structural Systems.